Welcome to Wellness Radio with Dr. Jeanette Gallagher as your host. Her show discusses topics of health, wellness, and spirituality and is about discovering your place in this great universe from your cells to the cosmos. Along with her guest, in casual conversation, she strives to ask the difficult questions that may be holding you back from a vibrant life and shares new ideas that may inspire you to make a change in your life that you only can see in your dreams. And now, here is Dr. Jeanette Gallagher.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome to Wellness Radio. This is Dr. Jeanette Gallagher, and it's a pleasure to have you with us here this evening. Tonight, we are going to be touching on a topic that many have said, I am in that world, I'm exploring it, I want to know more. That's the New Age, UFOs, ETs, Cosmic Christ. What is it all about? There are others who say, I don't want to know anything about that. That seems to scare me. I think I will stay where I am. I'm quite fine right now in my existence. Many times people are saying, I see angels. I see spirits. I see dark shadows. Where are these coming from? Is there something more than our standard human existence that we were really pretty much resonating with in the 1900s? You know, I grew up in the 50s, and I don't think we had these conversations. Is there something more to life? Now in the year 2020, we're saying, there's so much more to life that I don't know, and we are open to the conversation. We are open to the possibilities that we are so much more, that we are a soul existence, that we are an energy form, that there's eternal life, or that there's souls and spirits. And these conversations can go on umpteen days. And we talk about spirits, and we talk about all of the difference and the changes in the world around us. What is it all about? Are we ready for the conversations? Perhaps we've just dabbled with the words, stuck your foot in the conversation, says, I'm not really ready for the answers, but maybe I should start to be thinking about it. Today, my guest is Sylvia McKelvey. Her book is Storm on the Horizon, The New Age, UFOs, and the Cosmic Christ. Sylvia, thank you so much for joining us today. It's a pleasure to have you with us.
Well, thank you for having me, Dr. Jeanette. It's a privilege.
Oh, it's such a great time to have you with us here talking about this, because if we look at the year 2020, I think if the world has shaked, rattled, and rolled, we're all still holding on, and it decided to stop one day, yes?
Well, it's certainly been an interesting decade, if to say the least, especially with what we have been facing as a society. And in particular, what I have written about with the appearance of a lot of our UFOs and the varied opinions people have and the research that's gone on regarding them from many researchers.
Right. You know, we've been talking about UFOs and, you know, for I can think many decades, because I can remember seeing them in the 1960s. I lived in Arizona in the 1990s, and it was common conversation there. But, you know, hey, that was Scottsdale, and, you know, that was Sedona. So everybody talked about that stuff. But I think a lot of times now people are saying, what are you talking about? What are you seeing? Don't you think now it's becoming a little bit more commonality to find it in a casual conversation, whereas before we would be afraid to talk about these things, yes?
Yes, I think that it's become more mainstream now. It's been interesting to watch how the media has been approaching the topic. There's been a lot of, I guess you want to say, inquiries or even clamoring in some areas to get the government to reveal what they know about them. But despite all of the political offings back and forth about whether they should disclose it or not, people are finding out on their own. They're having their own experiences, their own sightings, and developing their own databases of this information.
Yeah, because, Sylvia, you're an extraterrestrial researcher and investigator. And, I mean, you've been studying this stuff for a long time. It's not like a new thing for you. Yet many people will say, but I thought this just came about now, or why is it just showing up now? Don't you think that perhaps if we really were honest with ourselves, we may have seen or had an experience in the past, but we didn't recognize it? We might have shoved it off or changed the tune around it?
Well, it certainly has been something that has been recorded over a timeline, historically, even on our planet here, from the very beginning of when they were recording historic events. In ancient times, there's been reported of these flying shields and different types of entities that have intervened in our livelihood, I guess you would say. But right. The fact that they had been noted so early on it's been interesting to me that there has not really been much focus on them. And I think because it's become such a popular subject now, and now that we're having to actually come to some hard conclusions about what is actually out there, I think now we need to try to, I guess, develop a sense where we can determine, you know, exactly what is going on with them, what do they want, and mm-hmm. what are they?
Right. But don't you think, in a way, we're trying to also force them into, you know, walk like a duck, quack like a duck, it is a duck kind of idea? In other words, we want to poke, prod, and put them into concise categories so we can understand. Sometimes our understanding isn't really able to capture them. Maybe that's why we haven't connected and gotten it down pat yet.
I think part of that problem is because there is such a variety of these types of reports, anything from different types of beings to different types of crafts and definitely different types of experiences. So in writing this book, I've taken a lot from my own personal investigations and reports as a UFO investigator. And I've also taken the history from people that have also experienced these things, and I have let them just speak for themselves, let them relay what happened to them, their thoughts on it, and what they think they are. So I think if you go through as you're reading, you'll see this kind of a pattern of starting to form as far as how people have responded and if it's been a good experience for them, if it's right. been a bad experience. But all of their ideas play into something that we should be paying attention to.
You know, don't you think that the word alien, I would say that media has concocted that they're generally bad or to be feared. And, you know, they're out to get you and, you know, or are they going to come and, you know, take over the world? Do you think that maybe the idea of government or the idea of a society is like a fear that they are something more than us, and they could control us?
Yes, and this is something that I found was very interesting when I was writing this. You know, for investigators, we want to find that smoking gun. We want to get that
right.
verifiable evidence. We want to show what these are, excuse me, and be able to come to a conclusion, but you just can't with these because it's so varied. And unfortunately, I kept waiting all these years for somebody who said, yes, I had this wonderful experience, and this is what's going to happen. But mm-hmm. in many cases, quite the opposite was true, and I'm not quite sure why that was. And that's why I've let these people just give their stories. And I'm thinking if there are multiple types out there, and there could very well be, you know, we may be seeing a lot of reaction to a lot of different types of beings.
Right. But if you look at it, it's almost, I think of it as they are a step up, you know, and they have everything from left to right. They have their outliers, you know, just as we as humans have, you know, I'll use an example, mental health. You have schizophrenia on one end, you have depression on the other, and everything in between. In humans, you have those who are not, you know, health and mentally challenged or homeless. And they're on one end, and you say there's on the other end all of those who have everything in the world could possibly want. So in essence, if you're looking at these beings, are they not having a similar type of society that does have those extremes going from left to right? And it's just we're kind of lumping them all into this is an alien, but maybe that's not true at all, right?
Well, that's the big question. You know, what are we dealing with?
Right.
Like, I think that just looking at what we have for public consumption, for the mm-hmm. average person to bring up the topic of UFOs, you're going to think, first of all, flying saucer. If you mention right. alien, you're going to think of the bulbous head, big-eyed beings that yes. are known for abductions. And the fact that there are so many interpretations of it, I think that certainly it's something that each person has to evaluate based on what is presented as evidence and what we know already. It would be nice to think along these lines that this is something that's here for our benefit, but we can't just make a blanket statement to that effect because of the variety of experiences. And I would certainly like right. to be able to get to the bottom of a lot of them, but yeah. you can't set a time and say, well, I'm going to find this out on Tuesday, because it just doesn't work that way.
Yeah, because if you look at humans, you would say a human is. What is a human? You know, I mean, we have bazillions of different aspects to answer that question. Well, if you take the word alien, you have a bazillion of the same thing. Same thing you would do for UFOs, or same thing you would do for another existence. There's got to be all different realms and aspects. It can't just be like one isolated thing, you know?
Right. And that's why people who are looking at this or, you know, evaluating their experiences, they're kind of hard-pressed to come up with an actual explanation for it, because it affects people so much differently. Right. You know, just like you were saying, one person might see it this way as something that is unique, and another one will find it as something that's very terrifying. So how they have been projecting themselves is the problem, I think, in trying to say this is scientific, this belongs to us, this is part of our fleet or whatever, because right. we cannot bring forward the evidence to show the public that here it is.
Right. Let's talk about the topic of religion for a second. If you look at religions, you know, everybody had their own different version of what a god was, or who God is, or what their god is. And isn't that the same aspect of it? And really, religion, in a way, kind of kept it confined to there's only the God and there's you. When now people are saying, well, I really don't know who's in control, or I don't know what's going on. And we're seeing a lot of churches and religions failing right now. I mean, I live in New Orleans, and this is a heavy Catholic state. And you would not believe how many churches have closed. It is incredible. You know, almost half of them from the 1970s when I came here. And it's incredible to see the shift. Do you think that maybe the idea of who is another energy kind of person that's out there? People are shifting it. Well, if it's not God, then is it something else? I think, in other words, it gets like in this real confusing kind of mush, you know what I mean? Where we're shifting from what we knew or what we thought, because it was a dogma, and now we're going to something else, and we're going, I really don't know what to believe anymore, right?
Well, that's interesting, and I think it all comes down to what religion you might be. I know, speaking from a Christian background, is that we look at this and we know that there is a very real paranormal world out there, and we do interact with it, and sometimes it's for our benefit and sometimes it's not. But to know that there are these different types of forces out there brings into question, how does this affect what we believe and our concept of God? And I thought when I was writing this also that when you look at prophecies, whether it's from one religion or another, and specifically I'm looking at Bible prophecies, okay. that there is so much that seems to fall into place on that it was just too much to ignore. You know, you have to look at this could possibly be a possibility. And if we're right, maybe it's great that we give everybody a heads up. And if not, then it'll be proven not to be so. But I think it's something that we should, as just fellow human beings, take a look at this and see how this could affect our future. Is this going to develop into something that's going to be beneficial for mankind? Or could it possibly be something we should be alerted to for our own safety?
Right. But in essence, what could we even actually do about that? You know what I mean? In other words, are you truly fighting or starting to fear the unknown? You have a chapter in your book, it says, something's out there. And I wrote on the top of the page, challenges the in-here stability and validity of self. You know, people are starting to say, am I crazy or nuts or broken? You know, I mean, what's out there or what's inside me? That kind of gets to be a little bit harsh. And then the idea of, is there something outside the earth? And then we say, but the earth will protect us. You know, our government will protect us. Society won't let this happen. And we go, oh, gosh, I don't know.
Yeah, well, that is the consideration that we would have to give this, you know, and truly looking at it honestly. These are the unknowns, and I think that with time, and possibly we will be seeing more of it, which would, I think, help bring it into maybe a better focus on what seems to be happening, because you have so many things coming out of government circles. You have things coming out of just private sectors, whether it be private pilots that have had sightings, mm-hmm. people who have had abductions. There's so much that enters into it that you would have to say, is this one thing or is it a group of things happening? You know, are we dealing with one specific thing or could we be dealing with two or three different types of entities? So it does leave us with a big question, but it also leaves us with the incentive to watch what's going on.
And, Sylvia, could you also share maybe a few of the sightings that people have seen? Because some would say, well, I've never really seen anything. I don't know. I know for myself, you know, we saw UFOs. It was in the middle of the daytime. You know, it was in the Northeast in the 60s. But I haven't seen any recently that I can recall. Don't you think some people see them quite often in different locations? Or are there some people who just say, I never see them, or others say I see them all the time. Like, what are we looking for? Or what can we start to connect with?
Yeah, I think there is indications that they're what they call the hotbed areas where they see them more often. I think Sedona was one of the places mentioned.
Right.
And it seems to be desert and mountainous areas for the most part. Mm-hmm. What people are seeing for the most common report these days are these big orbs. And mm-hmm. they are orange-colored or they could be white, various colors on occasion, but that seems to be the standard of what people are seeing, these cluster of orbs in the sky. When I first started investigating this maybe 20 years ago, there was a time where people were reporting triangles, and they were either black triangles or white triangles. They were of different sizes. You will get reports of anything from a saucer to a rectangle-shaped sled-type object. So that's the other thing that's so, I guess, confusing about this is that you don't have one standard model. It just seems that there are different types, and they appear in different places, and there's no rhyme or reason as far as the time. If it's daylight or evening, it just seems to be where they are at the time. And as far as even people that have reported seeing these aliens, for lack of a better explanation for them, also is varied in the fact that people have reported things from, you know, your traditional grays to tall Nordic human-looking beings to even reptilian type. So with all of this variety, even with the beings themselves versus what's type of craft they're flying, it's hard to say, well, here's your standard UFO, so be looking for this type.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because what happens is that you disregard all of the other things that you're seeing when you're looking for something so specific. And I think the idea is that to be open and aware of the unknown is when we can start reporting or start sharing stories or start explaining what we might be seeing, right?
Exactly. And, you know, I think back about the report just from this young man who was deaf. He just happened to be sitting out on his porch in the early morning. I happened to look up and see these orbs flying up there. So there's really no rhyme or reason. You could say, I'm going to go out to this place here and I'm guaranteed to see something. That's not necessarily going to happen. It's when it happens, it happens. There's no way of really gauging. And even though some people say that they can predict or they have an area where they're sighted, there's no guarantee that anybody going there at any particular time would see the same thing.
Right. How about the idea that orbs in the spiritual world, people say, is a soul or an essence showing up or... you know, you see them a lot. There's times when I will go to the cemetery and take a picture of like an angel or something. And, you know, you look back at your picture and there's an orb on it. And is that in essence the same thing or similar, or is it totally the opposite?
Yeah, that's always been very interesting because, you know, when you think of orbs, they have been sighted in homes. They're various sizes, a little pinprick size all the way up to basketball sizes. Mm-hmm. They are, you know, basically an energy source. When we're photographing them, especially I think if you're doing like indoor or whatever that people have reported, but they're also can be very large and reported as UFOs that are in the sky. Mm-hmm. So the interpretation of exactly what they are, if they're all energy, then we'd expect it to be an energy that could shape shift and transform, which a lot of them do. So does that make them a solid vehicle? I don't know. And you do have the authentic vehicle type that they say they've landed, they've got imprints in the ground, and they saw them take off. So that's yet another type of report where you have to say, well, who was involved in that? Was it purely energy on that part? I don't think so, because it's a solid item. So how are these two interplaying with each other, and what are they?
Right, because you could also say is that when you're seeing them, and just as you said, a shapeshift, energy can take on any form. So it could be appearing as comforting or good or, you know, angel-like, and you could turn around and it could be totally the opposite. Just as you said, we don't know any of this.
Right. And that's why, you know, you see such a varied opinion on it because, you know, you have the science end of it. You have institutions like SETI that are searching the outer regions of space, thinking this is where they've got to be, while other people are taking pictures right here on Earth of them. So how do you marry the two and say this is your scientific answer to it? Because most scientists would scoff at that. You know, if they cannot get it through data on their source, then it's not going to be proven to them to be scientific or advanced. So there's always that issue where it always comes back to a spiritual side to it.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people do think, well, they're angels or, you know, something that is just energy itself, but do we really honestly know what that is?
Mm-hmm. You know, it's interesting when you say that because I think about this. Someone, it was on TV, I watched it, and they said, well, we are wondering if, I don't know, I'll just use a planet randomly, I wonder if Mars or Neptune has oxygen and can support life. And I'm going, but wait a second, if you're out there, that's not even, are you trying to take the human as you know it right now in this human form and take it and lift it off and put it somewhere else to be the same thing there? And we know in our real mind that that's not supposed to be what they're thinking, but they're so locked into deciphering things down that they have to be able to see it that way. Just as you said, you know, your machines and your devices and techniques and your answers, taking a theory and be able to put it down and saying this is concrete, we don't have that yet. Just as, well, let's go live on Mars. Let's just pick up a human and go put them on Mars. I don't think, you know, that it's the same thing. I'm like, why would a human from Earth want to go live on Mars? Because we wouldn't be human if we get just outside of our own our own, you know, orbit. So I guess the idea is that we're trying to take our construct that we know and take it and put it on something else, hoping that the two will marry together, and they're not. Well, they never will, right?
Well, this is a problem I think that most of the researchers run into. You know, you have such a variance in reports. You may take a similar item. Let's say people are reporting orbs, and some will say, well, you know, I saw the orbs, or it appeared here and left and just didn't do anything. It just took off. Mm-hmm. Well, others, well, and I've actually had reports of this nature saying that they were, like, almost terrorized by this orb that wouldn't leave them alone. So
right.
Why are they acting that way?
Right.
So it's, there's not a solid answer to any of that, and
mm-hmm.
unfortunately it doesn't look like anything is going to show up and explain themselves. So,
right.
You know, we just keep looking for the evidence and trying to line it up to what they might be and what the end result might be as a result of them being here.
Yeah, because we just keep trying to use them within this old context of the words, do you know what I mean? So that we can't, mm-hmm. we're trying to conform that what we're seeing and putting it in our rational mind. And just as you said, until we get enough blips on the curve that look to see similar, eventually we'll get a computer spit out that will say, well, we think there's a consensus here, it might be this. Isn't that really what we're seeking? Is there a consensus?
If that's possible to arrive at one, because, again,
right.
I go back to the varied reports and varied types. Like I said, in just putting the book together, I had to go with the information that I had, either from my own reports, from others' reports, and others' experience. And, you know, you're always looking for, you know, here's your solid scientific explanation. But what I was finding out is that there's always seems to be a backstory to these people's stories. So what was happening in their lives and how did it end up the way it was with their encounters, whether it be one-on-one or were they abducted? You know, this is what I mean. There's more to their stories than just their story, if you can follow what
right.
I'm saying.
Yeah. I think the idea is that we are questioning a lot right now about our utter existence, you know. I mean, we've seen in 2020 that, you know, you could be here today and you could be gone tomorrow, you know, very quickly.
Mm-hmm.
And
oh, yeah.
I think the idea is that now all of a sudden people are saying, wake up, because there's more to the story. And are we able to wake up and say, I think some people will stay in the darkness and stay back, but others will say, show me more, because they really want to know, you know, tell me more about God, tell me more about my soul, tell me more about the aliens, tell me more about something other than my normal 9-to-5. I'm ready for it. I think there's an overwhelming abundance on this earth right now that's in that paradigm where they are ready, yes?
Yes, I think so too. And I do agree with you. A lot of people can approach the subject and they want to learn. And I'm hoping by presenting what I have presented that it will help people understand the different views there, certainly. And other people, I think you hit on it right away, just do not want to be bothered with it. It maybe
right.
frightens them to some degree, and they don't want to know about it. So
mm-hmm.
you're kind of stuck in between these two groups.
Yeah. It's definitely, I think, a time, though, we're going to have a split. I probably have been saying this, you know, we're now in the summer of 2020. I've been saying it probably since maybe last year, is that I felt like we were at the splitting of the ocean. It almost felt like, wow, we are really having a parting of the seas. And now here we are in the middle of 2020. I think this, you can feel that almost, oh, wow, when you even say that, it's almost as if your body can feel it. It knows that something is coming. It knows that there really is a truth in the time right now, because the world has stopped. The world has changed. on a click, on a dime. We went to sleep one day, woke up the next day, and boom, it changed. So I think the idea of, wow, what's next, isn't that really about giving you saying, I mean, by reading your book, you know, it can say, wow, what's coming up? Because your book, Storm on the Horizon, are we not at that point right now? We're at that gate.
Yeah, I think we're very close to seeing the world as we've not seen it before. I think maybe it is a good explanation to that, because we're kind of at an apex, you know, of having to make changes now. What do? We have to reassess what we just went through and try to avoid this ever happening again. But in the process of doing that, there's going to be, I think, a lot of different opinions on how that should be done. You know, will it be for the benefit of just us, or, you know, obviously it has global complications to it. But there is something now that I, and it's funny that you say it, that you have this feeling of anticipation. Mm-hmm. I've just been hearing that an awful lot from various people. So it's almost as if we're all kind of primed, kind of waiting for something to happen. So I think you're certainly having a heads up and considering, you know, what possibilities might be, you certainly couldn't hurt us at this point.
Right. And I think it's really being, many of us have been attuned to this already. Going back to our beginning of our conversation when I said about being one rung up on the ladder, you know, knowing a little bit more, having a sense of something more, having engaged in this thought, in this conversation, having seen orbs, having felt energy, having knowing of, you know, how energy moves and everything, we've kind of given ourselves that leg up to, yes, now we feel it, and it's almost as if now we are able to expand more to it showing up to us first. Because those who aren't ready for it, it's not going to show up to them right now, you know, because we would have pure and utter earth chaos. So I think that there may be people like you and I who may show up to us first and we're like, oh, we've been waiting for this. We already felt it. We already know it. There you are. And it's almost as if you could reach your hand out and say, oh, touch me, touch, you know, that whole, you know, ET thing, in one hand to one hand, you know. It's sort of like you're like, ah, okay, we got it. This is good. We're okay. We're almost there. It has such a sense of feeling for that.
Yeah, I think that, you know, it's fair to say that, you know, we all kind of sense something, even if you don't know what it is you're sensing, because I think if you look around to how people are responding to this virus, that you see anything from, okay, you know, I'll get through this, to utter panic. So people perceive things a whole lot different than, you know, maybe it really is. So there's going to be, like we said at the beginning, people that are going to be have the insight to know something is going on, where others are just not going to want to be bothered with it.
Yeah. Well, in closing, Sylvia, I just want to touch on this one last thing. Once we enter into the unknown, really, are we powerless? And is that what's freaking us all out?
I don't think so. I think for most of us, you know, we have a faith. We have things that we hold sacred to ourselves, that we have confidence is going to look over or look out for us and watch over us. So I don't think that it's anything that we're going to say is going to defeat us as a species or as a planet, but I think that we need to know what we're dealing with, basically, to know how we need to respond to it. And I think for people who have a strong faith, that's going to be a little bit easier for someone who, versus somebody who doesn't have any concept of a faith.
Right. Yeah. Well, I think, Sylvia, it's going to be a shake shimmy year, and I hope you come back in 2021 and we revisit this topic, because I think we will have a whole different story. Yes.
I think that we're going to be seeing a lot of different things, and I would love to come back and we can do a recap of what we've seen now and what we may be seeing then.
Right, because just as our warp speed, our world changed in overnight, can you imagine what it'll be next year? We'll go, wow, I can't believe we thought that stuff. Right?
Well, we'll have to see how it shakes out. But, you know,
yeah.
I would just advise anyone who reads the book, please read it for the content, you know, despite what side you are on as far as what you
yes.
believe. There's information in there that I think is beneficial to anybody who's really looking at a serious study. And
yeah.
you can draw from it what you will, and I hope that you will gain some good insight from it.
Yeah, because I had to, we always say on this show is that the messages, the talk, the conversation, the words, the vibration, the frequency is really that, not to take it, to follow it like down the street and it's cemented in your dogma. It's to open up keys within each other to be able to say, oh, something in there just feels good. And then the next day you might see something, know something, sense something, or, you know, feel differently. So I think what you really have in your book is a lot of keys that can open up inside us. We don't have to worry about what they are or define them. Just one day you'll say, oof, I'm okay. That's cool. Heard that somewhere, felt that somewhere. And it might be your book, it might be our words, but it doesn't really matter. It's just that it's kind of like once we open these up, we become more aware, don't you think?
Absolutely. And I think that's why it's to our benefit to consider all these different possibilities.
Yeah.
I think that's what helps us grow and understand, and it may help us in the long run.
Yeah. The dance of the cosmos has no response. It just goes out and it just does. It's kind of cool. Well, thank you so much for joining us, Sylvia. Can you share with the listeners how to find out more information about your work? That would be wonderful.
Okay, well, you can get the book, Storm on the Horizon, The New Age UFOs and Cosmic Christ, from Amazon or Barnes & Noble. It's readily available. I do have just a beginning web page where they could find out more about the book as well, just by Googling my name. This is, for me, just a beginning project, so bear with me. There will probably be more coming in the future, but that will at least get you exposed to what I've written.
Very good. Well, Sylvia, it was such a pleasure to speak with you. I think sometimes we say, ooh, that's okay now. I'm good. I'm not that crazy. And my crazy bus that goes up and down the street can shut the door, right?
That's
you know?
Right.
That's right. Sometimes, you know, so many people say, I thought that before, but I was afraid to speak up. So now what really we're saying is, hey, have those conversations, right?
Exactly. Exactly.
Very good. Well, thank you so much for joining us today. It was a pleasure to have you with us.
Well, thank you, Dr. Jeanette. I appreciate the opportunity.
If you'd like to find out more information about Sylvia McKelvey, her book is Storm on the Horizon, The New Age, UFOs, and the Cosmic Christ. Please do click on the link on the bottom of today's show page for more information. It truly is about being able to be open and say, I don't know what's out there. Kind of cool. Tell me more. We used to love those movies on Saturday morning where they always talked about the unknown, what our dreams and our thoughts could conjure up. Well, maybe we could just take it a step further and say, are these really coming to fruition? And how cool might that be? I don't know. Do we need to be afraid? Do we need to be scared? No. Our faith will keep us in line. Thank you so much for joining us today. This is Dr. Jeanette Gallagher, and until tomorrow, have a great day.
Today we discussed many life-changing concepts. Who do you turn to, and how do you know what is best when faced with a health crisis? Dr. Jeanette is a patient advocate. She listens to the patient, the doctors, and the family, clarifies the health issues and concerns, then helps the patient make the best choices going forward. If you would like help implementing change into your life and health, we can talk and see where you are stuck and how to improve the quality of your life. Check the link on the bottom of today's show page or visit drjeanettegallagher.com to schedule a phone appointment today.